Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Welcome to this lovely topic, sparking conversation. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age appropriate or ahead of age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them, where we deliberately scuttle a situation to provoke the child to do something or say something in accordance with a planned goal or target. Hopefully, this will help you follow our discussion in this episode better when you hear us refer to the AV technique sabotage. Modeling is another really useful auditory verbal technique where we present our deaf or hard of hearing child with the complete language pattern, whether it's a question, a statement, the use of a vocabulary word or a concept, we present it in its entirety, offering our child the opportunity to listen and imitate. I trust this will help you as you listen in to the conversation. The preceding episode had Warren and me in deep conversation about what exactly a conversation was and how we got it rolling even with infants, and how the route to conversational competence was through conversation itself, even with an infant. So I thought that I would unpack that a little bit for you in this episode of Sparking Conversation. How do we even get the conversational ball rolling? We talk very glibly about chatting to our young children. But what exactly does this involve? Is it a conversation? Does every verbal exchange with our child qualify as conversation? Listen into the discussion Sheena and I have on Sparking Conversation so that you can decide for yourselves. Sheena Kurian from Kerala in India is a lovely and very focused mother of a little boy who is 3 years, 4 months old. Thank you, Sheena, for your participation and enthusiastic support of this podcast.
I'm really happy to see how far he's come, you know, what I was really happy about was that it seemed that he really wants to communicate.
Yes.
You know?
That's true.
That he's meeting you more than halfway. You know, you would ask a question and he would kind of go, he would answer in a complete sentence and add something to it. My question to you is, what really constitutes a conversation?
I know the situation, I mean, the...
So what you said was really important. You said, I don't know. So since we don't know, it means we don't pre-decide the topic, which is exactly what a conversation is. And so it is.
Yeah.
And so it
spontaneous.
Is. Exactly.
Spontaneous.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a spontaneous heart-to-heart exchange.
Yeah.
So in terms of content, what do we talk about? Yeah, it's not pre-decided. It's spontaneous for sure.
Yeah. So there are times when he has, if you look at examples, he has also initiated a conversation. I was like actually quite taken aback.
We're not going to interrupt the conversation to correct grammar because then that's going to break the flow.
I tend to do that a lot. I keep saying, I will. So
yeah, that's different. When you're modeling. No. So when you model, that's different. But you would wait for your turn to speak, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, when he completes a sentence and if he's missed out on will, I'll correct him and I'll tell him the correct sentence.
How about when he said, I pick up the paper, if we had just at that point responded and said, I'll pick it up. I'll do it. Don't worry. You carry on. So you're contributing, you're continuing the conversation, but you're also modeling.
Yeah.
So in the moment, continue the conversation because that's the most important thing, to keep that conversation going.
With the correct grammar though.
But you're just modeling. You're just modeling the correct form. And if he's attentive enough, he'll pick it up and I'm pretty sure he will. But if he doesn't, it's not going to be a conversation breaker.
No.
Right. So coming back again to what do we talk about when we have a conversation?
Like routines.
That's the point. I call that a transactional exchange. For me, that's not a conversation. So you don't have to answer, but I want you to introspect on how often you really have a conversation.
Not very frequently.
But we need to get into the habit. We need to get into the habit of having those conversations. So let's just kind of shoot the breeze over here and think about your day. What could you say that would be a conversation starter?
We could talk about a lot of things when I take him down to walk.
Okay, great. Like what?
There'll be a lot of stuff. You know, seeing some insects or if you see some children playing.
Okay, see some insects. That's brilliant. Tell me more. Yeah, tell me more. Tell me more about seeing insects, because that's fascinating for children.
Yeah, I mean, I could say that, you know, we saw the picture. I mean, do you remember seeing this in the picture we have in the scrapbook or, you know, other pictures or photos? Try to.
So then it's a lesson. Is a conversation a lesson? Are we teaching something?
Yeah, I think most of my conversation,
it degenerates into it,
are you know, somehow directed to
me, the teacher.
Yeah, such boring conversations it becomes. No,
but is that a conversation, is my point. It's a lesson, but is it a conversation? Yeah, like you said, no. So conversation to me is, and I think in by definition, I would say, is there is no agenda. I'm not trying to teach something. I'm trying to convey some thoughts, some ideas, ask questions, get information. But there is no agenda with the insect. Now, how do we develop that into a conversation? Because it's a brilliant conversational starter.
I'm thinking of facts related to the insect, to be very honest.
Tell me, what is it that you see? What is it that
you see? We've seen earthworms.
Okay.
We've seen ladybugs. And we've seen a lot of butterflies.
For the sake of practice or for the sake of this discussion, which insect would you like to pick? You get to pick the insect.
Butterflies would be a better choice, maybe.
I love the caterpillar and the ladybug.
No, not caterpillar. Earthworm.
Ladybug.
Yeah, and we also have honeybees flying around.
Ooh, wow. So let's take those. So what would captivate your interest and imagination? Don't you find that things that are really gross or yucky or scary are just so much more fascinating, especially for children?
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah, it can be earthworm.
Earthworm, okay. So now you, both of you are going down to the garden to play, and you see this caterpillar. Now, what are you going to say?
The earthworm.
Suppose he doesn't see it, and you have to bring it to his attention.
Okay, so I'll be like all excited. Oh, Joshua, come look what I just saw. Do you know what that is? You know, and try to see if he comes up with something. He said snake.
You're tilting again.
I've asked this and he actually said snake once. So I said it's not a snake.
Can we think of a more natural way to elicit that response? Come here, look at what I can see. Now, a child looking at that is going to blurt out the name that comes to him.
Yeah, he said snake.
So he said snake. Yeah, fair enough. Now, what can we say?
No, I don't think it's a snake. We've seen a snake in the snake park, you remember? I don't think it's a snake. I think it
looks like Not to worry. It's not a snake. It's not going to bite you or anything. Don't get terrified. We can sit here and watch it. Don't worry. Come, I'll put my arm around you. What's the difference?
It's more heart to heart, like you said.
Exactly. I'm not worried about conveying facts and information and being correct. I'm listening to the intent of what he's saying. And maybe when he said a snake, there was a certain element of fear in it and he was trying to back off. So therefore, I'm saying, come, I'm putting my arm around you. Let's watch it together. Now you're watching it and suppose he's quiet. And you wait and you wait and you wait. You wait until it hurts, but he's still quiet.
Then it looks like an earthworm to me. I think it's an earthworm. I see it's crawling. Oh, look. I don't know where it's going to go. I think it's going home.
Nice. I think it's going home is a very sweet thought. Now, I'm sure he would. Why is it a sweet thought? Because it provokes him.
Yeah,
Yeah, to say something that, yeah, maybe he thinks it's going home or maybe he thinks it's going somewhere else. So when we suspend the teacher aspect of ourselves as parent, but we partner our child in this conversation as equals. And so in the spirit of partnering our child as equals, to keep that conversation going, I conducted a workshop. And joining me in this next segment is Ratna, a very committed young mother of two lovely girls.
who shares how this workshop inspired her to stay in the moment and how, as a result, and to her amazement, the conversation took a delightful turn.
Usually, never thought of chatting.
Okay.
It would never be, we wouldn't live that moment. Could find opportunities. But after this workshop that we had, the other day, I was giving her milk. Usually when I give her milk, she would ask for a bit of sugar. And I would just say, I will give you, when she wants to grab the box and she wants to have it herself. But at that moment, this time around, actually, I stopped myself from doing that way. And I told her, listen, if you get this box and if you drop it on the floor, then you know who's going to come. Somebody can smell it very quickly and there will be something on the floor. You know what's that? So she had no clue what it is. So they are ants. And these ants, they love sugar. They love sweet things. So that in no moment they will be here. So then she looked at me. And then while I was giving her milk, I kept chatting that there are two types of ants. There are those black ants and there are those red ants. These black ants don't fight us. They tickle us. When they come on our feet, when they are on our body, they tickle us. And they said, but be careful of the red ants. Red ants bite us. So if you see them, be away. Then that was it. That,
and she listened quietly.
She listened quietly as I was giving her milk. Then I have this habit of playing with her in the evening. Like, it has been since childhood. It's a song in Hindi, which we generally, I touch her toes and I say, ek chitti aayi, bhook lagi, main kya khaun, bulbul ke pet mein mam mam hai. And it goes and it comes. When it wiggles on your, it crawls on your body, it tickles. So
like this little piggy went to market, that kind of a thing, no? Yeah, yeah.
And then, I got tickling on her body till her stomach. So when I started in the evening, when I was doing it with her, when I started to tickle, she, just when I was saying that the ant is coming, it's coming, I, and this time I changed it in English.
Okay.
So I said, it's hungry, it's coming. And as soon as I was about to, you know, move my fingers on her body, is it a red ant?
Wow.
She asked me, is it a red ant?
Wow.
And that made me feel that she does remember what I had spoken to her. And that was just once. But that was, so maybe it was so interesting for her that she could remember. And then, so I said, no, that's a black ant. So, then you may go. Okay, she said. So then I could tickle her.
So what you didn't expect actually happened. Right? You didn't expect her to really understand, did you? And then not to remember and apply it.
And apply it.
That's fantastic.
So that was, we would have never done it. Actually, we would have never done it. But not since the realization after the workshop. To live in the moment and make use of that opportunity.
Thank you so much for your interest and your time and for staying listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with is, in order to spark conversation in very young children, we do not have to be looking for some magical moment. We don't even have to wait for the perfect moment because there is none. There are opportunities just waiting to be explored and sparked by you into conversations, if only you and I are just open to them. And our child is always throwing us a bone. Grab these and use these as conversational moments. You won't regret it. Coming up next is an episode on the magic of the wait cue. And you will recall that Warren Estabrooks and I spent some time discussing the wait cue, discussing its importance and how difficult it was to practice. Well, I was just delighted when one of my professional students was more than happy to partner me on this exact topic of the wait queue. So make sure you listen in. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.